Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Paradeep Phosphates Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call, hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Manav. I am pleased to host today's earnings call of Paradeep Phosphates. We have a leadership team represented by Mr. Rajeev Nambiar, Joint MD and CEO, Mr. Harshdeep Singh, President Commercial Officer, Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. Bijoy Biswal, CFO, and Mr. Alok Saxena, Head Corporate Finance and IR on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Nambiar for opening comments, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Rajeev, sir.
Thank you, Manish, and good morning to everyone who has participated in this call, and we welcome to Paradeep Limited's earnings call for the quarter one. I appreciate your time and interest in your company. I trust you have seen our earnings presentation and press release, which have been circulated and are available on our website and stock exchange. Let me take an overview. I'm happy to report that PPL has once again delivered a very strong financial and operational performance and the best-in-class EBITDA per ton. Many congratulations to all of you. Despite the prevailing global uncertainties led by the Middle East crisis, which resulted in sharp escalation and volatility in raw material prices as well as availability, PPL delivered a very strong performance on the strength of its existing supply chain efficiency, sourcing diversification strategy for key raw materials, and pan-India marketplace selling and distribution capabilities. With this performance, the company has been able to further strengthen its leadership position in the phosphatic fertilizer sector. In Q1, revenue from operations increased 36% YoY to 6,124 crores. EBITDA rose 25% to 742 crores. PBT increased by 24% to 526 crores, and PAT stood at 393 crores. Sales volume grew by 4% to 9.85 lakh tons, just close to a million tons sales. During the quarter, full benefit of expanded capabilities of sulfuric acid was available to us, due to which the sulfuric acid production was higher by 32% on a YoY basis. Phosphoric acid production was higher by 7% on a YoY, reflecting the strength of our backward integration's benefits in phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid and helped us to improve our quality of earnings. Our key expansion project of phosphoric acid expansion, that is phase one from 5 lakh tons to 7 lakh tons metric tons, is on track. I'm happy to report that the board of PPL in its Q1 meeting approved an investment proposal of 250 crores for setting up an aluminum fluoride plant at our Paradeep facility. The proposed investment aligns with the company's strategic objective to enter and diversify into the related industrial chemical space and will build and strengthen the company's non-subsidy portfolio in due course. The proposed investment is a reinforcement of our manufacturing excellence capability by having a byproduct converted into value-added products. These investments in specialty or industrial chemical will further augment our endeavor to create long-term value for our shareholders. Looking ahead, we remain in the challenging time amidst the Middle East situation, and we have seen high volatility and availability challenges for key raw materials and particularly sulfur. As you're aware, 70%-75% of global trade of sulfur and ammonia crossed the Strait of Hormuz. The supply disruptions for these commodities are expected to continue in the short term. Despite these uncertainties, the industry is making concerted efforts, and empowered committees comprising of government and senior industrial officials are working in close coordination to ensure fertilizer security for the nation and the farmers. PPL remains committed to drive growth in its challenging time through focused operational discipline. Thanking you once again, I now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great numbers. Rajiv sir, for Q2, how are we placed on sourcing of raw materials, and whether are these prices of sulfur, are we willing to continue to buy and manufacture acid, or is it worthwhile now to buy acid and use it for manufacturing of fertilizers?
Thank you, Prashant. As you are aware, the prices have definitely gone up in the current situation. And we are constantly looking the various opportunities where we are able to bring efficiency into your supply chain. With the phos acid and sulfur going up, there is a strain in our overall working philosophy. But I think we are also scouting from various sources and some support extra coming out of the ammonia price reductions. So we are hopeful that actually with the production keeping today, to large extent we are able to operate around 70% of phosphatic capacity. But moving ahead, I am sure actually there will be some sort of added support which we expect from the government.
Yeah. Prashant, just to share with you, we are also augmenting through imported DAP and NPKs. So we have a robust pipeline as far as the Rabi season is concerned, where we are augmenting our products through imported product lines.
Sure, sir. Sir, on the AIF or aluminium fluoride side, if you can share some details regarding when the plant can be operational, how much would be the per ton realization, and also EBITDA per ton?
Prashant, the plant capacity is going to be around 15,000 tons per annum.
Yes.
Okay. We expect at least a top line of 180 to 200 crores coming out of this facility. We are currently looking quite optimistic about getting this plan commissioned within 22 to 24 months. The basic engineering work is currently in progress. And we are also getting ready for the sourcing strategy, what is the right sourcing strategy for ammonium chloride. As on today, looking at the market, we don't see major challenge in terms of a B2B sale and expecting at least a 50 crores of EBITDA which is coming out of this.
Right. And sir, lastly, before I jump back to the queue, sir, on the trading volume side, what was the traded DAP and NPK for this quarter?
Prashant, we'll tell you the numbers.
We'll just get back to Prashant, okay? Exactly.
Sure. I'll jump back to the queue.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Riju from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you, Riju. Your voice is breaking. Can you please move to a better reception area?
Hello.
Yeah, Raju, go
ahead.
No, we can't hear you, Raju. Raju, may we please request you to rejoin the queue and come again for the questions?
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
We have our next question from the line of Aman Kothari from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Firstly, congratulations on the wonderful set of results. So my first question would be around the mix that we saw this quarter. We saw a 55% growth in DAP volumes and NPK volume degrowth of 9%. So why was NPK degrowth for the first quarter? And is it a mix that's going to be maintained going ahead for the full
Good morning. I think two, three important things. The way you look at, yes, there is a significant growth of GDP, and that was more like a tactical shift because from a policy perspective, the profitability of DAP appears significantly better compared to the NPK. But as far as the market strategy is concerned, the focus on NPK continues. As far as farmer sales are concerned, we grew our NPK portfolio by 6%. So NPK farmer sales are up, but as a primary strategy, in line with the kind of optimizing profitability, we have focused more on the DAP in the Q1.
So, volume sales 6%, but 6%, so is there no price hike that you took?
Sorry to interrupt you, Aman. We are unable to hear you properly.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yeah.
So my question was, sir, NPK, we saw a volume degrowth of 9%, but still you said the portfolio grew by 6%. So is it because of some price hike that we took?
No, it is. That is because of the farmer, the trade stocks, the POS sales grew by 6%. So that is one thing. So that growth as far as farmer is maintained. Of course, we have taken a significant price increase in the NPK portfolio in order to maintain our profitability. So just to give you an example, a bag of DAP today sells at 1,350 rupees a bag, whereas the complexes range from 2,100-2,500 rupees a bag. There is a significant difference for a farmer because of the way the current policy is. So we have ensured that we pass on the increase partially to the customer, and we expect government also to address partially the cost increase which has happened.
Got it. And sir, just last question before joining back in the queue is, in terms of building our non-subsidized portfolio, aluminum chloride is something that we are going up ahead with. But do you see that this aluminum chloride would be catering to which industry? Like, there's a clear demarcation between a lower grade and higher grade. So what is it that we are targeting?
Mainly, it is going to target the Odisha area where aluminum industry is there. Okay. And we have done our study properly, and we feel actually being a strategic player in Odisha, we should be in a position actually to, without much greater difficulties, should be able to market it and sell and market it.
Got it. Thank you, sir. I just joined back in the queue.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sucrit Patil from Eyesight Fintrade. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the team. First of all, congratulations on a good set of quarter. My first question to Mr. Nambiar is, beyond the regular outlook, just want to understand what are the top two to three execution priorities you are focusing on in the next few quarters? And alongside that, what do you see as the biggest risk in demand shifts or competitive pressures, and how are you preparing to manage them while sustaining Paradeep's position in fertilizer and in the fertilizer trade? That's my first question. I'll ask my second question after this. Thank you.
If you look at it, one clear signal we have given in the quarter one is, there's a tactical shift towards profitable product is coming. We have got a long-term view in terms of NPKs, which is very strong, and all the capacity augmentation, which is also going to happen, has got a huge thrust coming out of NPK. But we know this is unprecedented time in our business, which is coming out of the conflict in both Ukraine side as well as in Hormuz side. So we can't be just sticking to what exactly we've done. So this is a small-term tactical shift is going to come. We are still explore actually whichever the products which we can manufacture and report. Happy to report that actually we are one of the company who has got maximum product portfolio capability to manufacture in our facilities. So that definitely we will be leveraging it. And wherever the price advantage comes because of our supply chain logistics, it's quite strong in terms of the sourcing facility. We will be exploring various areas where we can optimize the supply chain. Coupled with our coming capacity expansion, both phosphoric acid as well as the big expansion which is expected in  2029-30, these are three to four areas we will be concentrating in the coming two to three quarters.
Thank you. My second question to Mr. Singh is, on the commercial side, what are the key priorities you are driving in terms of market expansion, pricing, and customer engagement? and what risk do you see in the distribution or regulatory framework, and how are you preparing to mitigate this? Thank you.
Good morning. So there are two, three priorities. One is from a future-looking priority as a market development. See, we are building up a portfolio of high nutrient use action products in the portfolio, so which is our nano category, and we're growing significantly into that category. As far as the market is concerned, apart from the current supply chain risk, there is also a challenge as far as the monsoon was concerned. But however, July has been a good month for the rainfall. So how we're trying to address the market requirement is we're balancing between our NPK and DAP portfolio. DAP, you know, the demand remains quite robust because of the price point which the government has kept per bag of DAP. And we are, if you see our growth, both the farmer sales and the primary sales, we had a significant growth. And if you look at the farmer sales, I think the industry growth of phosphatic, DAP, and NPK has been around 1%. And we, as a company, we have grown around 15-16%. So we maintain our leadership position as far as market is concerned. We also maintain our leadership position as far as product pricing is concerned. So we are very conscious that we are going to drive growth, which is profitable. So that's how our market strategy is today, Kamal.
Thank you, and best wishes.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the guidance, and wish the best of luck.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Riju from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I hope I'm audible now. So my question is regarding the sales volume data that you have reported. So in the PPT, slide 4, we have seen that the total fertilizer volume is 9.85 lakh ton, right? But if we calculate the product-based detail, that is DAP, NPK, urea, TSP, and MOP, the count is coming at roughly around 10.03 lakh ton. So just want to understand the math here.
No, I think you would have counted the Zypmite sales probably into it. So if you consider the DAP, NPK, MOP, that is around 9.85 lakh metric ton. But if you also consider the Zypmite, which is a soil conditioner, then you're right, it's a million ton plus. So that's around 15,000 tons of Zypmite sales. If you add both of them, it will be a million.
Okay. Understood, sir. Understood. 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 And sir, in terms of the sulfuric acid capacity that we have right now, the excess capacity. So how are we selling that? I think we might be selling it to outside. So how much additional EBITDA that we can make from that sulfuric acid by selling to the outside as of now?
Riju, thank you. Right now, we are completely utilized, the sulfuric acid capacity. No, we are not selling outside right now. So entire thing is, consumed by our fertilizer facilities.
No, sir. My question is regarding at the Paradip facility, we have expanded the sulfuric acid capacity from 1.4 to roughly around 2 million metric ton, right? And the phosphoric capacity that will come in the 2Q of FY27. So the excess sulfuric acid capacity, how you are utilizing that?
I will explain you. Basically, we don't have any excess capacity of sulfuric acid in Paradip. Even if it happens, it could be some fluctuations on a short-term duration, it may be happening. But if you look at it, sulfuric acid, we are using not only for the phosphoric acid production, also N20 being sulfur-dominated product. So a lot amount of sulfur goes there also. So as of today, if you ask me, actually, we don't have an excess kind of a capacity on a sustainable basis from Paradip. But obviously, there's some smaller quantity here and there we might be trading, but it's not a significant thing at all.
Understood, sir. And in terms of the power generation, the co-power generation from sulfur to sulfuric acid, are we selling any excess power to the grid as of now in this quarter, maybe in last quarter?
Last quarter, we have sold at the beginning, but then because of the fluctuations in terms of sulfur, sulfuric acid availability, we have not done much. But the facility is available for us.
Okay, understood. And sir, one last thing in terms of the urea. So the Goa urea facility, I think the GCal improvement happened in the last quarter. So so how much EBITDA per ton that we have been able to achieve this quarter? And also in terms of MCFL urea plant, so the EBITDA, the benefit that we are getting as per the old policy, that might have expired in last year. So how we should look at in terms of EBITDA per ton for the MCFL plant as well for urea?
Yeah, regarding the urea policy, I think it has been notified, the new urea policy has been notified yesterday. So we are evaluating that policy, but you know, if you look at the policy and you know, vis-a-vis the energy benchmark, what we have right now, in Goa, the impact will be around 1500 rupees per metric ton, positive.
Okay.
And you know, there will be a you know, reduction in Mangalore of around 700 to 800 rupees per metric ton. Based on the new urea you know, energy policy. And this energy improvement, what we are talking, we have invested and we have, this has been completed and it has been capitalized and put to, you know, it has started, you know, this getting the benefit from this year, this quarter. The energy has been reduced by 0.2 GCal, you know, on a, you know, urea production basis for this year.
So, sir, accrued benefit in terms of EBITDA for that?
No, therefore, you know, 0.2 means, you know, right now, the you know, this due to this energy impact will be 1,000 rupees for metric ton.
Okay. So, what a normalized basis, can you expect that it might have improved by roughly around 700 to 800 rupees per ton at the EBITDA level for Goa urea?
At the Q1, yes, you can assume.
Yes.
Understood, sir. And thanks for clarifying all my questions.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Parth Sodha from Tiny Triathlon Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Thank you. And first of all, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is like, over the medium or long term, what percentage of EBITDA do you believe could come from non-subsidy business such as industrial chemicals?
Can you repeat the question?
We continue to focus on fertilizer, as we said earlier, and the sustainable EBITDA guidance that we give is 5,000 rupees at the moment, which when we complete our backward integration, everything will should be improved by 30 to 35%. As far as the non-subsidy portion is concerned, I think that will take some time to evolve. And over the period of time, the long-term vision is that at least 20% of the EBITDA should be supported through the non-subsidy. But that's a long-term target that we have kept for ourselves.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand currently how much of raw material for this aluminium fluoride, the FSA, is currently produced in-house, and what are we doing to that? Are we selling it outside, or are we incurring some effluent treatment charges for, because if you could help us understand on that front.
Currently, we are producing around 9,000 to 10,000 tons per annum. And all these quantities are sold to outside parties. Okay. The index of our investment is actually how do we make sure that we get the value, much higher value from what we've been selling as a raw material to other parties.
Okay. And sir, if you could help us understand, because it seems that this product is very critical to aluminium smelters. So how is the criticality of this product? And sir, have the validation started for this product, or will there be a gestation period post the 24-month commissioning of this plant?
No, good. This is basically, we are just starting actually. The board has given a go-ahead and we just started the engineering. So engineering, construction and commissioning should be 22 to 24 months. And we don't see any challenge in terms of the marketability or saleability of this product.
And
right now it is getting sold.
Just to add to Mr. Nambiar, a lot of work has gone in background before we took it to the board. So everything is established. We just need to complete the project in next 24 months and get it rolling.
And also to your understanding, there's a lot of import happening in this particular product. So with this, we should be able to make sure that the Indian manufacturing setup is able to complement and reduce the import of aluminum fluoride.
Yes, sir. So my question was on similar lines because of all these imports are of a different specification versus what it would be that Paradeep Phosphates would manufacture. So will it require some gestation period with the smelting customers for testing out our product and then verify?
No, it won't be.
It won't require any gestation period.
It is readily marketable.
Yeah.
Got it. And sir, how much capacity can we increase? Because we are manufacturing 10,000 metric tons of FSA, so how much can we extend this 15,000 metric ton of capacity to?
15,000. We are currently designing it 15. Why 15 is because the expanded capacity we are expecting within 2 years, we should be in a position actually to utilize entire HFC, sorry, hydrofluorosilicic acid to aluminum fluoride.
Okay, got it. Sir, that was from mine. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, thank you. A few questions. Firstly, on the traded, can you share the traded volumes this quarter, ex of urea?
Yeah, the traded volumes which we've done is total 1.25 lakh metric ton, including the MOP, TSP, DAP. The major imports which are coming, the arrivals are happening in July, August, and September.
Got it.
We have almost secured around 500,000 tons of imports for the Rabi season. Yeah.
And sir, now what we're seeing right now, for example, the shift in a higher sales of DAP and relatively lower sales of NPK. I'm just trying to understand how does this work in the market? As a structural strategy, it is the market wants to shift towards NPK. I mean, that it seems that's the push, given the better profitability and also better farm economics, probably better for the farmer. But raw material supply chain issues, the government policy actions, and all those creates this disruption. So I'm just trying to understand, say for example, the farmer shifting to DAP today was an NPK buyer earlier. How soon does he come back to NPK if the price is normalized? I mean, what kind of resistance does that happen? Because these kind of policy, then otherwise you have these disruptions and the movement towards NPK then probably becomes slow. So I'm just trying to understand how does this, move and how do you see this?
So two, three things. I think first is fundamental. See, the entire market development effort and our farmer engagement effort is to create awareness of the balanced fertilization, which is basically phosphates, potash, micronutrients, and even organic carbon, which is very essential from the agriculture context. As far as the short-term context is concerned, see, farmer, we've done most of our awareness campaigns shifting him from conventional straight, let's say, DAP fertilizer to an NPK mix. Currently, the difference is quite stark between NPK prices and the DAP prices. And hence the farmer shift which is there. But a lot of farmers, especially in South India where the awareness levels are much higher, they still continue using the NPK portfolio. And we see still NPK as a dominant category. But yes, as far as the current season is concerned and maybe Rabi, as long as the urea and DAP prices are held at a special price for the farmers, you will see a shift happening as far as uptake of DAP is concerned. But I don't see that as a fundamental concern from an overall strategy perspective. Because farmers are aware about the use of the balanced fertilization. And if you look at even a fertilizer like potash, where the government support is very minimal, and the prices are almost as high as 2,200 rupees a bag, so very, very aware farmers for cash crop, they're still using potash. So the price is quite high.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was just wondering from the pace of, shift towards NPK, does it slow it down or the movement can be back again quickly?
Yeah, it will be back again quickly if the price equation is addressed. See, as long as the DAP, NPK are within the price range of 200 rupees a bag,
I think the shift can happen very quickly. Currently, it's quite stark, almost 1,000 rupees a bag difference.
And so the other question was on the expansion plan, the phos acid and probably the NPK granulation expansion. Any change in plans given what is happening or that remains on track? Because I believe last time when we spoke in the call, you mentioned the equipment ordering is pending. So I'm just trying to understand where are we there.
Okay, Dhruv, if you see, none of the plans are getting changed because of the short-term turbulence what we're experiencing. That's a good news for all of us. And second thing is the phos acid expansion, what earlier we said is about 5 lakh to 6 lakh will become a reality by this December, and the 6 to 7 is also going to happen mostly by August, September next year. So current related to the bigger expansion of the 3 lakh ton of phos acid as well as sulfuric acid, that's also going on as per what we have planned. So almost we are in the final commercial discussion is going on. So all those expansion projects are going in a normal way irrespective of what's happening around us.
Great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saumil Chah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to ask, last quarter EBITDA per ton was somewhere around 5,300. So what is the EBITDA per ton in this quarter? And have we started seeing benefits of the backward integration?
This quarter EBITDA is around 7,000 rupees per metric ton, and in the last quarter, you know, last year in the same quarter it was around 6,500. This increase is mainly on account of the stock, you know, what we have got at the beginning of this year. So that has really played out, and you know, this has given this increase in the EBITDA margin.
Also, if you look at it, our backward integration of sulfuric acid, which is happening in both Mangalore as well as Paradeep. Both are actually running, running the full stream. So coupled with the inventory which we had able to harness within our system in terms of raw material inventory, coupled with the backward integration started coming up.
Okay. And so can this 7,000 range sustain for the current quarter as well?
No. No, we feel actually a realistic EBITDA for a year could be around 5,000. To 5,000. Once we complete our expansion projects, what I explained earlier, we should be in a position to have a sustainable 7,000 plus.
Okay, and that will be by
you. It could come in phases actually. You can take it as 2 to 2.5 years.
Okay. And just one follow-up. You alluded to the previous participant that our phos acid plant's incremental capacity from 5 lakh to 6 lakh tons will be by when?
By this December.
Okay, okay. And what is the current capacity utilization for this plant?
This is almost 100%.
Okay. So, okay. So we are confident of achieving 1 lakh additional by Q4 of this year?
Yeah. The execution is already going on. Equipments are also ordered and started getting equipments.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Dev Gulwani from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So despite industry phosphatic fertilizer volume being flat this quarter, company is able to grow 13% volume YOY. What is company doing different than peers that we are able to gain this market share?
So, if you look at the overall market strategy, we focused in north, east, west and south in a very balanced way. So, we're not very, we are very strong in west and south, but the overall strategy is to have a kind of balance across the key markets of India. That gives us advantage, especially when there is a demand effect because of agri scenario. So that's one strength. Second is the lot of market development efforts as far as the brand is concerned. So Jai Kisan Navratna and Jai Kisan Mangla are strong brands with very and enjoy a lot of trust with the farmers. So that gives us advantage as far as the optics and the POS is concerned. So these are two fundamental things that we do. And our portfolio also, we have kept that flexibility between organizing the range of portfolio. So it's urea, DAP, NPK, So the complete mix is available in terms of solutions to the farmer. So that gives the edge to the company.
And how OCP is helping in securing raw material during this current of situations?
That is one of our key strengths compared to many other players. So we don't face any serious issue or any issue at all in terms of our rock availability, that also in much superior quality rock availability, and acid also. The rock and acid to large extent at least, we don't have any major issue other than some smaller supply chain issue which might come up. But I think overall, because of very good planning of raw materials, we have been able to create that uncertainty to our strength.
And with long-term view of non-subsidy business contributing 20%, so after FY29, we can see capital allocation towards shift towards other industrial chemicals, right?
Yes, of course, actually, yeah. Obviously, backward integration is the current thrust for us and entering into specialty chemicals, those area. But I'm sure the current ALFC project is only beginning and we are seriously thinking in what else we should be able to do it. This is the shift actually which is really coming.
And last question, and do we produce enough hydrofluorosilicic acid to cater to 15,000 metric ton per annum aluminum fluoride plant?
Yeah, we have actually, we have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, but Harshdeep sir, you are alluding to a higher trading volume that we plan to do in Rabi initially. Can you elaborate on that? What are your plans?
So what we're trying, Prashant, is to augment partly imported DAP. That's more something which the government also wanted to ensure so that the country's supply chain is maintained. So we will be doing some complex fertilizer also, which we are importing, NPK and DAP and TSP, because that TSP has also been a product from a long-term perspective. We're trying to build a portfolio of a high phosphate fertilizer with lower nitrogen. So between DAP, TSP and NPK, and of course we have also this year put a lot of thrust on ammonium sulfate, which is a good source of nitrogen and sulfur. And the government wanted us to encourage that as an alternate source of nitrogen and sulfur. So that's the portfolio of traded products that we're doing.
So last year, Rabi season, our traded volume was around 270,000, if I'm not wrong. How much could this year be at?
So I think we're not giving a forward guidance on the exact numbers as of now, Jan, but it will be significantly higher. That's what I can tell you. And like I told you, we almost secured a kind of 500,000 tons of imports as far as the traded products are concerned, which will help us from both Q2 and Q3, right up to December.
Sir, how much is DAP trading volume in Q1 and last year Q1?
This year, in the Q1, the DAP traded volumes have been less. So that's just been around some 1,000 odd tons. TSP we did around 24,000 tons. And ammonium sulfate 22,000 tons. Last year, they have not done any. DAP was just 1,000 tons in the first quarter. Because we did have a lot of manufactured DAP.
Okay. On the subsidy side, how much is the outstanding subsidy and how much have we received in Q1?
This subsidy right now, as on 30th June, the outstanding is around 4,600 crore. And during this year, we have received a subsidy of this quarter around 2,650 crore.
And sir, how much is the gross debt currently?
Sorry?
Gross debt.
Gross debt.
So 6,000, just a second, you know. 6,500.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manish Mahawal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just sir, in terms of a CapEx timeline, right, you said a phos asset 2 lakh ton, right, which is 5 to 7. Out of that, 1 lakh is coming by December, and 1 is next August, right? You were saying 27.
Yes, Manish.
Okay, the earlier it was the timeline was, I believe it's the H2 of this year, right? I think by Q3 or so. Or it has got delayed. Am I missing something in terms of timeline?
It is the same timeline.
Okay, and second thing is CAPEX, which is a bigger CAPEX, what we had announced earlier, right, 3,500 or 3,600 crores of CAPEX. What is the timeline of that, and whether it will come in stages or it will come in a one shot?
It will come in one shot, actually. We said 29-30.
Okay, so what is the timeline for that start?
Yeah, it will be around 29-30 beginning.
29, so should we 29-30 in a sense, basically FY29 we should assume, or March 29 to be
29-30, half mid of the 29-30, no? Maybe, yes, we are the larger project, so generally there may be some, you know, here and there, so it will be like, you know, second quarter of 29-30.
Okay, understand. And in terms of when you said a traded just for this year particularly, when you said a DAP, we have done doing a lot of imports and we wanted to have a DAP. So does it mean basically the manufactured volume will be lower in this year itself and total volume will grow and definitely manufactured will come down and your traded will offset that? That's a right understanding?
See, what we are trying to do is we are trying to optimize the market requirements. And you know, this is a year where there are disruptions, and it would not be appropriate to put volume to volume comparison just for the sake of volume. What you're trying to do is create stakeholder value. So you're trying to augment between the manufactured and the imported volume, so that market share is maintained in the market. But and we will be producing in the plant, but we'll not like to produce if the raw material prices are too steep. And if there are supply chain disruptions because of the war.
So any shortage in the production will be made good by this, you know, trading. So overall, this is, you know, there will be no decrease in the sales and other things.
Understood. And last one, sir, in terms of EBITDA per ton, right, because we did a very good in terms of first quarter and that has some benefit of a low cost inventory what we have earlier, right? Considering current RM cost in terms of all the 3-4 RM what we have and currency rates, what could be the EBITDA per ton we are able to make? And if there is shortfall of 5,000 rupees, how do you mitigate or any thinking towards the government additional subsidy we expect?
Manish, I think it's an evolving situation with both the state government and industry. But with the kind of interaction we are having, we continue to say that, you know, we should have a sustainable EBITDA of 5,000 rupees per ton. I think that's the number we are looking at the end of this year. And hopefully, you know, with all the coordination that we are having, we should be able to cross that number.
Okay, understood. Sure. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aman Kothari from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead. Aman, are you there? No, Aman, your voice is breaking. No, Aman, we still can't hear you. We'll move on to the next participant. We have our next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand what was our average landed cost of sulfur in quarter one FY27 and what is the price like now? I mean, can you just give us, if you could share the comparison for the sulfur prices?
So sulfur has moved quite a bit in Q1 and the prices now as we speak today is $1,000 plus. As far as our sourcing is concerned, I think it will not be prudent for us to give that number because it's commercially sensitive. But it has been competitive vis-a-vis global benchmarks.
And the current price is what you're saying is it is around sulfur is $1,000, right?
$1,000 plus, yeah. $1,000 plus.
Yeah. And what would this price be like in quarter one? I mean, on an average, if you could say.
Quarter one average.
Just to understand the.
Quarter one average. Your quarter one average was around $800, $850.
Okay, perfect. And can you share the same for sulfuric acid?
Sulfuric acid, right now the price is around $350.
Okay. And the quarter one?
The quarter one, we have not purchased much of sulfuric acid because we have this, you know, sulfuric acid capacity 100% utilized. So, but, you know, as you asked that what is the price, you know, I'm saying that, you know, right now the sulfuric acid price is around $350-$370.
Okay. So, and what percentage of your procurement is well, in quarter one FY 2027 specifically, what percentage of our procurement was due to the long-term contract that or long-term arrangement that we have entered in with the sulfur suppliers, and what percentage was on spot basis?
Currently, we don't have any specific long-term arrangement for sulfur because of fluctuations. On both sides, it's happening on the spot basis only now.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kush from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, what was the production volumes of DAP, NPK, and urea for this quarter, sir?
Sandeep, we'll come back to that, Lynn. The overall, if you look at the production, it is the Q1 was 7.66 lakhs.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And urea is around 2 lakh tons. Remaining, we can take it as.
2.8.
Okay. 2.4 lakh tons of DAP.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Archit Agarwal from Steptrade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah.
Archit, you need to speak a bit louder.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead with the question.
Is it audible? Yeah. So my question is, so last quarter, management guided that working capital build-up both inventory and subsidy receivables was largely unwind in Q1 FY 2027, leading to normalization of operating cash flow and lower borrowing. So could you share the actual progress, how much inventory has been liquidated and how much subsidy has been received, and is operating cash flow positive?
Yeah, I know. So last, you know, what we have told that last quarter, we have additional inventory which has been liquidated this quarter, and that has augured well for us. And during this, you know, evolving situation, and this, if you look at the last year, you know, last quarter's, you know, inventory vis-à-vis this quarter inventory, there is a growth, there is an increase in the inventory mainly on account of the trading volume, what we are talking. But otherwise, this raw material and finished goods, there is a reduction. And even the debt also we have reduced from around, you know, 700 crore on an overall basis. And the cash flow is also positive from operation.
Just to kind of also augment, see, the cash flow has been both robust as far as the market is concerned. We had a 43% growth in cash flow from the market, and even the subsidy collection was 22% higher than last year for the same period. So we've had a robust cash flow, which has helped the overall situation.
Okay, okay. And you have mentioned like 2,600 crore subsidies received in this quarter.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aman Kothari from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. So this year we were in the phase of debottlenecking and expanding our granulation capacity. So when can we see us reaching from 3.7 to 4 this year?
The debottlenecking is actually expected by again December.
Okay.
The contract is already awarded, is going in full swing.
The next year will
For 400 tons. And for the rest of the year going forward, as you touched upon that, the traded volumes would be significantly higher as compared to the last year. So we would see a margin impact this year going forward, considering trading volumes would be higher?
No, overall, I think we continue to maintain that EBITDA per ton at a company level. And because, you know, we are, there are a lot of supply chain efficiencies that have been brought into the system. So overall, we don't think that there's a pressure on EBITDA per tons below the guidance that we have talked about.
Got it. And I think in terms of, I think you touched upon the product mix going forward, but my question there just still remains, sir, that in terms of NPK market, what do you see apart from the price difference could be a value unlocker for us, considering we are the industry leader, both in terms of volumes also and pricing going forward?
No, so what, could you just please clarify what exactly is the concern that you have?
So the idea is to understand that what could drive the NPK adoption going forward, just apart from the price difference that's currently there.
So there are two, three fundamental drivers. See, one is kind of really awareness coming with respect to farmer internal understanding his soil health, and where he's able to understand that there is a need for him to have a sustainable agriculture, both in terms of applying organic carbon and balanced nutrients, both in terms of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash. You know, we have a challenge of overuse of nitrogen in the country. So a significant subsidy and the application of the farmer happen versus nitrogen and urea. But we see a robust play for both in NPK fertilizers going forward, because a lot of awareness has happened, and farmers today feel they're getting better results as far as productivity is concerned when they use a balanced portfolio. So if you look at it, last year, the market was around approximately at 24 million tons of phosphate, out of which DAP is around 10, and the NPK is around 14 million tons. And out of 14 million tons, the robust NPK grade, where your company is like a leader, is 20:20:0:13, which happens to be around 6 million-7 million tons. So we still feel that's a very promising grade, because there is sulfur deficiency in the soil, and that's a very, very good fertilizer for the farmer. But today, the price difference is there, so which I think is a short-term thing. I don't see that sustaining. The moment I think government removes the cap on MRP for DAP, I think the portfolio will get balanced.
Possibly from DAP.
Sorry to interrupt, Aman. We are unable to hear you. Your voice is cracking.
My question was, is there any possibility for the pricing to be moved, the pricing cap to be moved on DAP?
That you have to ask maybe the political people. But I mean, currently it doesn't seem in the short term, but I think somewhere going forward, it should get at least removed. That's how we look at it. But not in the short term.
I'm sure you touched upon this too.
Sorry to interrupt, Aman. We are unable to hear you.
Hello.
Hello, Aman.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, now we can hear you.
For you at 15%. So do you see this having any
Sorry,
impact on
Aman, but
you?
Sorry, Aman, but we are unable to hear you.
Hello.
We can't get you, Aman. Aman, are you there? Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, dear investors, in taking time to join our earnings call. In case you have any further questions, we'll be very pleased to address them through our investor relations team. And thank you once again, and have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.